All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. For this last episode, I have a beautiful guest, and her name is, well, she gave me another name to call her, which is Tree. But I was trying to practice her name behind before I hit record, and I kept messing up. Everybody knows I always mess up, you know, with my bloopers and stuff, so I keep them in here because I'm really a real person. Like, yeah, nobody can fake being me. So I was like, can you just please tell me one more time? But she is right here. And can you please pronounce it one more time for me?
Sure. My name is Tria Cook.
Tria Cook. See, that was not easy. I mean, it was easy, but it was not easy because I was trying to really, like, hold it in and, like, get it right. You know, like, did I get it right? And I didn't want to do that. So I was like, man, I better just... So thank you again for joining us on the podcast. And one part that I would definitely want to start with is, could you please introduce yourself? And forgive me again if I am not trying to badger your name at all. I just come humbly, and it's just a thing about me. I get nervous, even though it's like my podcast. I still get nervous because the Holy Spirit might just have something in depthly that he's going to use you for. And then I'd be thinking like, oh man, I want to treat you like somebody. I want to treat my guests like I want to be treated. Sometimes that's a lot, you know, and so that's yes. Where that's coming from, and so forgive me.
All good. No, it's all good. Thank you for having me. My name is Tria Cook, and I am a wife, a mother of two boys. I'm a boy mom, and I am an entrepreneur. I am a coach, basically life, leadership, and business. And I'm also my prophetic office. So I am a prophetess in the office of the kingdom, like my kingdom office or title, if you will.
Amen. Amen.
It's pretty much about me. Yeah, I'm a worshiper. I'm a servant, moreover.
Yes, yes. And it's not by coincidence that none of the guests know what I'm looking to hear about. And so every episode, I'll be honest, we've not had any overlapping. Like, each person, God gives something new, and it's exactly what's on my list that you have no idea. Because none of us have talked about the servant, which is worship.
Wow. Yeah. I love it. I'm a servant. I'm here.
Yes. I'm here. So I would ask, you know, where did you even find this relationship and intimacy with God to be where you are today?
That's a beautiful question, because when you think about intimacy, it's like into me, see, like I want to get into you, or in the sense intimacy is you getting into whoever you're involved with. I always had an intimacy with God in the beginning of my years of life. I really did hear God's voice as a young girl. And I don't know where it came from, but it was just such a strong faith I had in God. I can hear him, I can see visions, and I believed in anything he said. So I believe I naturally had some type of intimate connection with God since birth, or since I can remember as a young girl. I strayed away from the church and in my closeness with God for a season in my teens and early 20s because of circumstances in life. But I believe God allowed it so that I could go through and grow through and grow into a new covenant relationship with him, with experiences that he is who he said he is. And so I believe you mentioned offline, you were saying how, you know, the downs actually teach you how to worship. Like, and so for me, I know a lot of people might say, oh, you know, if I could do it all again, I regret what I did. I regret taking so long coming to Christ. But I really believe that because he kept me,
amen,
that's where the deep intimacy came from, because he's brought me through hell.
And
people say how waters, but I know that he's a redeemer. Mm-hmm. Where it came from, just my survival by only his hand.
Yeah, and you know, and that's just how God, he does some stuff that I just I'm sitting here in amazement listening to you. And like I was saying, we've not talked about this form of worship because there's so many ways that God brings us into our sovereignness almost. And how you went from, you know, I started young and in the church, and many of us do. But then we have that season, and I like that you said season, because we was just reading in Ecclesiastes, I believe, last night, how there's a season to reap and there's a season to plant, and, you know, there's a season to cry, there's a season to laugh, and sometimes we might expand on that season, not really understanding that it has an expiration date. And I would love to touch on, you know, what really turned you into, instead of running, you know, what turned you into listening?
I had no other choices.
That's it.
I ran out of choices. I believe that when we try to be God without trying to be God, we just control everything. You run into yourself, and then you run into God who made you, and you look within and you see that, wow, you know, not only did you keep me alive, but you still want to talk to me. You still want to love on me. You still want to say, hey, could you try my way now? He's so patient. When that scripture in the Bible talks about love, one of the first ones is patience. And God is so patient with us. How could I not try him after he kept pursuing me when I did not pursue him?
No, and that, man, it's just something about maybe just like how you introduced yourself, because I'm just like, God, this is my sister right here. I just met her through this video, but this is my sister. I'm going to somehow give back in any form or be able to, you know, we're family now, because I just feel that God is just saying so many things in between the lines of what you're saying. And I know that the way God works is in sometimes, like he says, you will fall. Pride, if you're going to be prideful like this, right, if you're going to know that you're meant to worship and you know you have a sound that I need from you, and you're going to be selfish to not give it back to me, okay, all you're going to do, like you said, is you're going to think is you're bumping into the world, but really it's just you and your desires and your custom made this. And God is like, no, I've got something way better for you, and you can't even think about it or ask for me to give it to you because you don't even know what it is.
right
I would ask you this. When it comes to worship, we've talked about, you know, their devotional time. We've talked about, a sister got on talking about dance. A gentleman was sharing, you know, just that time in God's presence. You know, what is your natural form that pulls you into worship, to get you into the presence of God?
Well, one of my offices in the kingdom is also a prophetic psalmist. So I am a worship leader, a worship warrior. So singing new songs unto the Lord is one of those things that I am used to. I write love songs. I'll just go in my heavenly language and start making a new song. What gets me into worship mode is just also basking in meditation, just basking on his goodness. I have a saying that thankful people are blessed people. So even in the midst of a storm, even when hell is breaking loose, me and my husband has this thing where we said, we're going to stop, we're going to sit down, and we're going to give each other a hug and just be. And so sometimes even that intimacy with God, not just your husband, but God himself, the Holy Spirit, inviting him and sitting down and stealing away, just getting yourself in posture to just forget about the worries, forget about what's going on. That stuff is going to continue. But if I could just get one moment in the presence of God, it changes everything. So I just find a way to just get in the presence of God and just meditate on his goodness, what there is to be thankful for, which is many things. Even in the middle of something that looks obscure, is something to be thankful for.
Yes, and man, that is such beautifully said, because I mean, think about it. There's someone listening that honestly is like, "Oh, I love writing songs, but I'm not writing them songs." And God is like, "Yeah, I know."
Oh man,
Hey, you got
I
books.
promise you. Can I share this piece right here? When you just said that, it reminded me when you're talking about worship, we all have talents, right? And whatever our skill set is, some people won't even offer it to the Lord, offer it back to the Lord. And I remember when I was pregnant with both of my sons, but specifically my first son, I was 29 years old. And I knew that me and the father wouldn't make it while I was pregnant. Like, and I just gave my son back to the Lord. I was a single mom. I was going to be a single mom, and I was scared. And I just gave my son back to the Lord in my womb. And the Lord told me that I'm giving you a gift, but I want you to give him back to me so that I can do everything in his life. If we understand the perspective of everything we own, even our children, whatever it is, we don't own nothing really, but everything we have been given ruler over in this earth belongs to God. Even our gifts, even our talents, even our skills. And people will go and they'll do it secular and they'll do whatever with it instead of presenting it back to God so God can bless it, because we're all worshiping something. We're all worshiping. Every hour of the day, we are worshiping. We are worshiping, and God is a jealous God. So I will commission someone who might feel like, yeah, I write the songs, but not those songs. I will commission you to try writing a song to your maker, to the one, the lover of your soul, the one that gave you everything and gave up everything for you to have everything and become everything. So it's just an amazing thing when you offer your gift back to God. And don't feel bad if it's just one song. It might start out like that, but God loves to try. He loves a cheerful giver. So just your one pursuit can open up windows for you that you haven't even ever imagined.
Yes, and amen. I would, I mean, to the listener that shoe fits, I mean, you need to lace that mug up, clean it off, and get to work. Because one thing about God is that when He asks you to really understand like what your worship is and why it has to become so real to you, it's almost like when you go into the store, you know, of course, right now there's so many things going on. So people are liking to buy, right? They want to buy guns and ammo right now because they just think that something's going to happen. But what happens when that's not the fight? Like your gun can't come to a Holy Ghost fire fight. Like it won't work. It won't work. And so
Yes.
oh man, we've got to learn how to get back into position. I love that you said that. And listen, I'm telling you, the notes I have, I'm so excited because I get to rest and hear someone else say what I'm thinking. And that's exactly what God was showing me. He's like, when you collaborate, everything that you were going to make a podcast alone, I'm gonna have it being in someone else's mouth to verify to you that this is what I am in worship. And then you said the same thing, which is you're worshiping something. It doesn't matter. You're always worshiping something. That's another note. It's sitting, I'm like, God.
Yeah. And
And
you know what? It's interesting because you said that you haven't really tapped in on the form of worship and servanthood. And then you said we have to get in position. And God gave me a ministry called Positioned to Prosper. And so as a servant, as a worshiper of God and a servant to his kingdom, I am commissioned to push people into the forefront in their giftings and their purpose, right? And so for me, serving as a leader is one who understands their power and authority, but isn't selfish in the in helping someone else see their potential and actually live up to the standard and giving their finding their gift, honing that gift, and then using that gift for the glory of God before they leave the earth. Because God gave everybody a seed and seeds, because he said he'll give seeds to the sower. I believe that he is looking for a return on his investment. And God definitely commissioned me to serve in that capacity. While I worship Him, I'm taking care of His sheep. I'm helping to develop them. I'm helping to make sure that they are strengthened in their spirit man, their relationship with God. And so my ministry is my coaching. I call it a ministry because prophetically I get to tell them the mind and the heart of God as well. So I feel so free and I feel like I'm in my purpose because it's not about me. It's about God getting the glory. And if He wants to use me to serve others, that is the most amazing thing ever.
Yes, it and just as we're talking, like God is doing so many things, and there always can be an opportunity for the shoe that, we talk about the forms of worship, we can talk about the idea behind it sometimes. And the one trick that the enemy does do that we've not really discussed yet is he wants to knock you out of position. And when he
Totally.
does that, it puts everything else out of alignment. And so I would love for you to touch on maybe there's something that God can share. I mean, that's something that God will tell you to share about in that season, about how you have to really ground and zero up with your worship and fight this spiritually versus naturally, because most of the things that begin to irritate you and blind you, forgetfulness, all kind of weird stuff that begin to form, we know it's not going to prosper. We know that scripture. However, that intimate fight, sometimes we're crying in the closet and God is like, just go ahead and get back up, but you don't feel like you can get back up. I know I'm a worshiper, but I don't have a sound because my strength is, you know what I'm saying? It's that heaviness that even though I got it all on and I'm smiling, I'm really going through.
God would have me to say to that person or those individuals that feel that way. Yes, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy and knock us out of position. But one thing about it, when I noticed God's love, the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And what God showed me was many times we get up out of our seat. For a season, we get up out of our seat. But God is so gracious and so loving that He would never give your seat to someone else. The Bible says that He leaves the 99 to go after the one. So He wouldn't take off without you. And so I would say to the person, do not feel condemned about falling, because a righteous man falls seven times, but then he gets back up. Why? Because grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And one thing I don't think we do as Christians enough is give ourselves grace, grace to grow, just like grace was given to us at the cross, right? And so I feel like we try to perfect everything and be Instagram ready and Facebook and TikTok ready, practicing these moves. And then when we fall so hard because we put expectations on ourselves that we didn't have to do in the first place. It's not our battle. It's not, we're here to impress one person, one being. This is an audience of one thing. This is not the audience of millions and a million followers and getting a blue check. This is not what that is for. This is not why we're here. We're here to impress the audience of one, to satisfy our purpose here on earth. And finally, I will also say, a delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. And we condemn ourselves when God wants to convict us. Yeah, feel the pain, but come on and know that you're not forsaken and you can get right back into your seat and fulfill that purpose. And God can restore the years and God can restore the time and redeem the time. Come on. I would dare someone to really read your word and understand the love language between the lines. Because so many people don't even believe in the Bible because they say it's the slave man, the slave owner wanted to manipulate us with the word. But wait a minute, the word of God is spirit. Okay? It's a spiritual thing. And going to worship, he said, now is the time for you to worship in spirit and in truth.
True.
Don't just read the word to read it. Read it and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it, because that's when you'll have an eye-opening encounter and you'll say, wow, I am forever changed. And man can't tell me nothing about God.
Yes.
I'll stop there.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's like I was telling many of the episodes, it's like I spiritually am seeing lighting a match and then seeing that run, and then it's like fireworks, or you know, the dynamite is like boom, 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 and it keeps going, because that's how God is. He literally says, there's nothing that's going to keep you from the love of me. Like, I'm going to find you no matter where you hide. Like, no matter where you think that you lost your worship, I'm going to give you a reason and a season to go through hell just to get your worship back. And when you get it back, you'll never lose it again. Like, that's the God we serve. That's amazing to me.
Is it? Is it?
That's...
I mean, I would dare to say that without pain, you don't really worship truly. Because a diamond doesn't become the beauty until it's pressed.
Right.
Until it goes through the furnace. You know what I mean? And God said he'll use the foolish things, even the foolish patterns of becoming, just to confound those who thought that you'll never be anything, those that thought that you would never make it, those that thought that God would never use somebody like you. He'll use all of that DNA, that wrongdoing, just to get his glory and show them, no, I love those that are thrown away. I love those that were least likely to succeed. Like, I take the foolish thing, you know? That's why he made us out of dirt, so that we would never try to think that we are
man.
So more than what we are. But unfortunately, some of us, we have price, we high ticketed dirt.
Hallelujah. I mean, somebody needs to go ahead and tell you. I was talking about a Facebook Live a couple months ago, I think. And I was saying, sometimes we get caught up in surrendering God's worship because we get hindered. And that hindrance thinks that we're entitled to tell God when and what and how I'm going to do it. And when we do that, then it puts us in a position to now have to answer to him and say, God, how you like my plan? You know, it begins to start. If you say this out loud, you begin to start wondering, like, who am I talking to? Like, this is, and God really be like, you know, you dust, right? You dirt.
Right.
Who's
right.
You talking to?
You know you dusty.
If you don't get your dirty
you
behind.
You smelling like mud out here. You're looking like it.
Man.
But you know what? We are always worshiping something. And what you just said, that sounds like a worshiper of self.
Yeah.
You know? He said that there will be in the end times lover of self, and we're in a love of self. And it's one thing to say self-love, but then there's another level to that where you are a total worshiper of yourself.
Yeah.
And so you don't even have time for the voice of God, because you're so, you become God and you start telling people I am God, or whatever the case may be, making up your own religion and making allegiances and laws and bylaws, you know what I mean? Commandments. And before you know it, you have a whole entire religion that you created and conjured up.
Yeah, a whole new doctrine. Yeah.
Yes, yes. We get into our own doctrine sometimes if we're not careful and humble.
Mm.
That one thing, humility. Humility will keep us from becoming worshipers of idols. Humility will cause us to remember and remain planted in this relationship with God. God, my life is not my own. That's a posture of humility. That's a broken. Yeah.
That's just a sweet place to be, that you got to keep reminding yourself, my life is not my own. If you just say that every day, you will push yourself into worship. Even if you're in the middle of doing something, you would just stop. I mean, like the other day. The other day I was finding myself battling with this, you know, spirit of just anger, feeling angry about the weight of the world and how they gonna change this, and this little kid over here missing and people over here doing stuff. And I'm like, good God. And, you know, I have a son myself. And so listening to the things that, you know, just him growing up and telling him, like, hey, now, you know, you're going to have to be a strong brother out here. This is crazy. This is not the same world I grew up in. And I was noticing that, you know, I was starting to think about how many things were wrong. And I said, wait a minute, son, we're going to have to just turn on some worship music real quick, because I didn't told you too many things in reality and not enough on how God can solve all of these things. And so I'm like, you know, the answer right now for all these problems is Jesus. And so I'm teaching him now, you know, he's 8. And so I'm just thinking, like, God, what happens to the, you know, the young children that tap in and they can worship? And, you know, he literally says, out of the mouth of babes, I will speak. And, you know, I've seen and tasted that God is so good. And it's like, parents that are listening to our podcast, you have got to teach your children worship. You've got to get them into the presence of God. You got to lead them. You cannot take the back seat. You have to lead. Yes, you might look crazy and they might laugh at you, but they will always remember, I felt something. What was that?
Yeah. I would also, you know, challenge every parent to, you know, take advantage of the youth ages, like the young ages, because you can lead your child into a worship experience that they'll never forget. And the children are so close to that purity that it's easy for them to get into the presence of God. But you have to make it a norm, a culture within your house first, because we set the standard, right?
Amen.
We are the in their life, and we are the first teachers. So I would definitely recommend putting on worship. Make it a thing. Make it a, you know, after Bible study at home, just turn on a song that God put in your spirit, and just everybody sing. We have instruments in our house, so my youngest son, 4 years old, he'll go get the piano, give it to one person, the guitar, one person, the microphone to another person, the drums to another person, and he's taking charge. But he was also in my tummy as I was a worship leader the whole entire time, so I'm not shocked to see him connected to worship as he is.
Yes. And it's such a beautiful thing to know that there are ripples effects of God's worship. Like, there is a strong relationship with me giving God my worship back, and then God saying, okay, you're trying, now watch this. So I'm gonna make you give you something to try even more. And then when you get into this position, like you were saying, I can now have you lead people like you are into worship. And because of your authentic and anointing and your oil, it's going to start a fire over there. And the next thing you know, these women or these young men or these young girls are desiring God in such a way that, you know, that's what it is. That blaze of fire is contained in our bones for a moment, but if it's there, you gotta move. You cannot just, I mean, there's something about you. Even if you move because you're irritated, God will get you. Like, oh, yeah, God, you found me in the back of the church. I know I was late. Yes, he will find you.
Right.
And he will still be like, worshipy.
Yes. And one thing you had mentioned about being upset about how dark the world was getting. One thing that came to my spirit was, as the world gets darker, the light gets brighter. So I would say, keep being the light. Don't focus on the darkness, because your commission and your purpose is to be the light. So operating in a fearless, I know my position in the kingdom is to be the light in darkness. You have the antidote. You are the answer to this dark world. And so is your son. And so is my household and myself. You know, we all don't have to get angry when we're the answer. You know what I mean? We're looking for the answer, and you said it's Jesus, and guess what? Jesus lives in us. So hey, rise up, Jesus. Rise up and let our enemies be scattered. Everywhere we go, we've taken over the territory. Like, it's real. And one thing I always tell people, I said, when you come on this side, you know, we were fighting the battle, the wrong battle. But when you come on the Lord's side, man, it is so amazing and beautiful and on fire. You would not be dim. You know what I mean? Because the Lord just wants to give you more and more and more oil and more anointing and more fire, because he wants us to do greater works.
Amen. Yeah. And I would love for, you know, us to just close, and maybe whatever, you know, the Holy Spirit may have been tugging even to, you know, speak about. And I definitely will reconnect with you, because I want to know more about that differentiation, the differentiations of when I'm worshiping and now the separation of the frustration versus irritation, knowing the difference, because my worship is either being hindered or am I under attack now, because I'm starting to study worship, I'm starting to get into my worship, and here comes this, and now I'm focused on, like you said, this. Where'd it come from? Because now my worship is like, oh God, I'm worshiping you, but I'm also focusing on this, but now I'm going through something. And that is just something that God has really put on my heart, to know that people expand on their problems. They try to glow up versus just being humble. I mean, one day I just had to tell God, I said, forget it. If there's nothing else, you don't do nothing else, God, I thank you for doing all the things you've done here and right now. And just keep, you know, keep, help me to maintain. And then out of nowhere, a blessing. Out of nowhere, I started saying, I'm the blessing. And then, you know, so I did something that I wasn't even trying to do to somebody. I'm like, wait a minute, I was just speaking what the Lord said. And then it kept going, domino effect. And it's like, wow, wait a minute now. Okay, now how do I fight you? Because it's not the person, it's not the situation, it's the spirit of, you know. And so whatever closing remarks that God has given you, I'm all for it.
Amen. In closing, I believe the Lord wants us to come in and find safety in his arms. Amen. I hear the Lord saying he wants us to rest. Rest. Why rest? Because everything that you just said, you know, I'm fighting over here, I'm battling this, but I still want to worship. Guess what? When we sit in our seat and we're just rested, he does the fighting. We have to remember that we have the helper inside of us.
Amen.
The helper, the one who is here to heal us, to comfort us, to give us peace, a hope in the future, all of those beautiful promises. But we have to enter into his rest. We have to know how into his rest, even when it seems like I'm hopeless. That's the perfect place to be. And I think that people don't realize that truth. Your brokenness is where he said, my strength is made strong.
Ooh.
Right there in your weakness, right there in your weak spot, right there in your, I'm about to give up or I'm about to lose my mind. God is right there. That's when he takes over, when we are weak. And how about we need to practice being weak?
Mm.
Not on a worldly weak, physically weak, but how about be weak and humble enough to say, Father, I rest. I find my rest in you. You are my rest. That right there is worship. I'm feeling it right now. God, you are my rest. God, you are my rest. I rest in you, the comforter, your spirit. It keeps me. It comforts me. It pursues me. It overwhelms me. Your rest, your rest, your rest is peace. Your rest is joy. Your rest is unbelievable, amazing. I mean, that right there will center you. That thing right there will center you. I believe that his rest is what he wants us to grab hold of, because it's no work needed.
Yeah. Wow.
If the helper is there, what do we need to do but rest? God is looking for people who know their God. Those that know their God would do great exploits, not because of our strength. It's because of our willingness to be weak and him being strong. It's that simple. Ooh, it's that simple. It's so easy that I think people don't even want to believe it, because they're like, I got to be doing something, Lord. Yeah. I mean, what you need me to do? Like, sit back. Relax. Watch me be God.
Yeah.
Okay. Chill. Just chill, I got you. But can God prove himself to us? He said, prove me now and see, won't I open up the window of heaven, pull you out a blessing. You won't have room enough to receive. Why? Because you rested and you gave him everything to. Go, God, go. Go, daddy, go. I always say, go, daddy, go. rest. Children of God, find rest. That's my closing.
Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. We are so blessed by this word. I mean, to go from, you know, talking about many different types of things to really be to really observe what's the biggest thing right now. People are so busy, and hearing to rest is maybe like somebody might have a chronic thought like, I can't do that. But what if that's all God is saying to do, and you have to deny you to just worship and resting and doing a moment of care in spirit versus caring about your toe or your fingernail, you know, resting your spirit, not your lip or Mary Kay or whatever you get. You know, it's not that you don't have to do those things. It's that this is what is needed to protect your eternal life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Your eternal life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You cannot get this rest anywhere else, and it's exactly what you're looking for. Man.
So be resting, be still, and know that I am God. That is a rest. Being still.
Yeah.
Psalms 42:10. Be still. Rest. And know that He is God.
Amen.
He's God. He got this.
Yes, He does. He got this. All right, y'all. We'll catch y'all in the next episode. And thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. And now you're family. So, you know, you got to come back.
Listen, pull up on me, Tria Cook, on all social media platforms, Position to Prosper Coaching. And if anybody would love to connect with me, you can put a email in for support at Position2prosper.com. I would love to connect everybody in the kingdom with family. So I enjoyed this interview and this time to share. The Father was all in our business, and I feel encouraged and inspired. Thank you so much for your yes.
Amen. Hey,